Welcome to the Maria Liberati Show, where food meets art, travel, and life. So, what does food mean to you? Join me today as we will be sharing recipes for Mother's Day with a food blogger and a DIY do-it-yourself expert will be sharing with us some tips on making homemade Mother's Day gifts. And we also have a special guest author who's going to share his book with us. It's about traveling throughout the United States and finding exactly where to go, some out-of-the-way places that you might not have even thought of. And Mother's Day is coming up. And I first, before we get into our interviews, I just wanted to share some interesting facts about Mother's Day, about the holiday. So the modern celebration of Mother's Day started in the United States in the early 1900s. It was founded by a woman named Anna Jarvis to honor mothers and motherhood, especially her own mother who had passed away. Mother's Day became an official U.S. holiday in 1914. It was signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson. More than 100 countries around the world celebrate or recognize Mother's Day on differing dates. And did you know that Americans spend over $3 billion on flowers and plants for Mother's Day, making up 26% of all holiday purchases for flower shops and florists? Mother's Day also sees the highest number of phone calls compared to any other day of the year, with about 122 million phone calls being made. Interestingly enough, Anna Jarvis, who was the founder of Mother's Day, later became so disillusioned with the commercialization of the holiday that she had originally started, and she actually organized boycotts and protests against it. And the traditional Mother's Day flower is a single carnation. Card sales are around $113 million worth of cards that are bought for Mother's Day in the U.S., and it is also one of the most popular day for church services and dining out in restaurants. And the underlying theme of Mother's Day across the globe is to honor and appreciate the important role that mothers play in our lives and to express gratitude and love for all that they do. Sizzle in the kitchen with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Unleash your inner chef and transform your meals into Italian masterpieces. Get your copy today of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, and taste the passion of Italy. You can get your copies on Amazon.com, at MariaLiberati.com, at ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com, on Kindle, and anywhere books are sold.
And my special guest for Mother's Day, she's going to share some recipes with us, is Merritt Allen. She has a blog called It'sBetterWithButter.com. And she's going to share some recipes with us. Merritt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's so exciting.
Yes. So tell us, do you have some recipes or a recipe that you can share with us for especially for Mother's Day?
Yeah, I think Mother's Day is always a really fun opportunity to get kids in the kitchen. You know, it's about the moms. So growing up, we'd always do these really big breakfasts, but they were really easy recipes like pancakes or whipped cream or something like that. So I try to think about that when you're thinking about Mother's Day. It's like, what can a six-year-old throw into a mixer and just like go wild with it? So for breakfast, I think I have a couple of pancake recipes that I would really recommend if you're like, this is easy, it's going to be so great for mom, she doesn't have to get up. And then pairing it with a coconut whipped cream.
Oh, that sounds.
truly just throw it all into a stand mixer and you let it go until it's stiff. I think what's really fun about it is it's really lightly sweet, so you can put it in coffee, you can put it with berries, and you can put it on top of pancakes. And it's really fun for kids because you can pick out the berries to go with it. They can chop up apples or peaches or strawberry, you know, anything they want. And it's this really pretty recipe that they can give to their mom. So that's probably something, if I was living near my mom, I'd probably make her that this year. But I don't live near her, so hopefully someone makes it for their mom.
Yes.
and
Yeah,
then
that sounds like a really pretty recipe. And I know I can remember when I was young, I would, when I was little, I'd be making breakfast. That was like our big thing. My brother and I would make breakfast in bed for my mom for Mother's Day. And it was usually pancakes or some type of pancakes or waffles or something. So that sounds like a really pretty recipe.
Yeah, and it's just fun. I know, I think breakfast in bed is like the most common what we do for our moms. So
Yep.
if kids can be the most hands-on part of it, I think that's great because they're the ones that need to show the appreciation.
Definitely, definitely.
Another really easy one is a like no-bake chocolate bark that I've been making just for me because it's so delicious. But you basically chop up either freeze-dried raspberries, strawberries, any kind of berry.
Right.
You can use fresh too, and then put it on parchment paper. And then you add white chocolate, more berries, dark chocolate, and then you just freeze that or refrigerate it for an hour or so. And it's this fun thing where you can, break it up with a knife or something or a fork if you're a little kid. It's just this really easy dessert. You can hide it from mom, bring it out after dinner. It's kind of special. But it's so good, and I mean, even with whipped cream, you can dip it in there, and yeah. So those would be the two that I'm like, again, if I could be with my mom this year, that's probably what I would make her.
And I love that dessert because that's a really, it's a fun, it's a safe dessert for kids to, kids can make it. It's pretty much a safe dessert for kids to make, to be able to make. And it's a fun dessert. And of course it sounds really, really yummy too. So
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
customizable. You can put nuts in there or coconut or, what is mom's favorite
Yeah,
candy? You can even throw
raisins, candy.
in.
Yep, raisins or candy. Exactly. That's great. And it's an easy thing to do because on holidays, usually it's nice not to make things that are complicated and take a long time so we can, spend time enjoying the holiday. That's great.
Yeah, and anything homemade, I think, has a little bit of an extra touch because you can buy really delicious cakes, I know, but sometimes just making that little treat is just really means a lot to mom. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yes. Homemade is, I always say homemade, even gifts, homemade gifts are the best too, because it really, it's more, it comes from the heart. And
Yeah.
definitely. That's great. Well, Merritt, thank you so much for sharing those recipes. And hopefully we'll have you back on in the future also. You can share some more. And
Yeah.
happy Mother's Day. Well, you're not spending it with your mom because you said she's far, far away. So, but
Yeah.
anyway, I'm sure. Oh, and everyone can take a look at your blog. It's betterwithbutter.com. That's easy enough
Yeah.
to remember. All right.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
You're welcome, Art. Thank you so much for being here.
Embark on a culinary journey with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Discover the secrets to authentic Italian dishes that will wow your family and friends. Bring the essence of Italy to your table. Grab your copy of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking at Amazon.com and anywhere books are sold, along with MariaLiberati.com and ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com.
And my guest today is Amy Poulton, and she's from HomeTalk.com. And she's going to share with us some DIY tips for Mother's Day gift ideas. Not everybody can go out and buy these expensive gifts, and you really don't have to. I think it should be something really more from the heart. But anyway, Amy, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. And I completely agree. Yeah.
Yes.
I think these days as well, like the convenience of buying online, like it's very quick to, buy something, send it to your loved ones. But I agree. Nice. It's nice to slow down and put some time and effort into a personalized gift as well. Something handmade, like you said, something heartfelt, handmade gifts that mean something.
Yeah, exactly. And the gift means something rather than just like a shirt that, you're going to wear for a little. If it's something that someone made, I think it'll hang around a lot longer because they took the time to make something for you. So any DIY, like really easy DIY ideas for listeners out there for Mother's Day gifts?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have a whole range on Home Talk.
Yes.
And these really range from kind of like crafts that you could do with kids as well. Like we have a really fun one. If your mom or grandma is a tea lover, you could decorate a tea box and the tea tags on the tea bags as well. Also creating like a bouquet of flowers, but out of something like tissue paper. There's also some really cool like sun catchers. So you get like pressed flowers from your garden or your mother's favorite flowers, say, and you put them kind of in a picture frame, and this way they're going to catch the light. I think that's a really cool idea.
That
We
is.
also have some similar ones with homemade candles. This is one of my favorites as well. Like you can use pressed flowers inside a clear vase or clear teacup even, add the wax in, have the wick as well, and then you can add a few drops of essential oils, your mother's favorite fragrances, and you could even give the candle a name, right? Like say a cinnamon scent would be like grandma's famous cinnamon cookies. So something that's like personal, that takes a little bit of time and effort to create, and yeah, it's something that's going to be really memorable.
Oh, that's great. Yes. And I mean, who doesn't like a candle? So, and that's a
Yeah.
great idea. It's a great idea. It's all natural also, and you don't have to worry about somebody putting in some synthetic scents or things like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And yes, as I mentioned, who doesn't like that? And with it coming from something that somebody actually made with their own hands, it's definitely going to be around, I'm sure, or get a special place in the house of the person that receives the gift. So, are there any like trendy types of gifts that we can talk about for Mother's Day this year, or anything trending?
Anything trending? That's a great question.
Yes.
Something that I've noticed trending, not necessarily just this year, but in more recent years, is like personalized gifts that incorporate photos. Because like even with online tooling these days, if you have a digital copy of that photo, you can print it on something, a mug or a canvas. There's a really cool tutorial on Home Talk that's like a poster hanger. It almost looks like a little tapestry with a family photo on. Another one is someone made a lantern out of family photos. So they like printed them on paper, Mod Podged them onto picture frames with clear glass, and then put a battery operated candle inside. So it's like the photos are lit up from the inside, which is really cool. I think, yeah, we can leverage technology to make something that's still very unique and crafty and handmade as well.
That's great. That's great. That's wonderful, Amy. So you are from it's hometalk.com, and people can go there to get more inspiration for making their gifts. You only have a few more days till Mother's Day, so they need to get cracking and get on the website and
Yeah.
check out so they can get all their materials or whatever they need. Some of this stuff, it sounds like it might even be things that you already have at home, so it makes it an even easier
Exactly, yeah.
way to get a gift. But great. And so that's hometalk.com, and I'm sure Amy will be back again with some other DIY ideas for us. Thanks, Amy.
Sizzle in the Kitchen with me and my Gourmand World Award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Unleash your inner chef and transform your meals into Italian masterpieces. Get your copy today of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, and taste the passion of Italy. You can get your copies on Amazon.com, at MariaLiberati.com, at ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com, on Kindle, and anywhere books are sold. Embark on a culinary journey with me and my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking. Discover the secrets to authentic Italian dishes that will wow your family and friends. Bring the essence of Italy to your table. Grab your copy of The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Da Vinci Style, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking at Amazon.com and anywhere books are sold, along with MariaLiberati.com and ArtOfLivingPrimaMedia.com.
My special guest today is Chris Epting. He's an author and historian. And he has a really interesting book. It's probably pertinent for, especially now, summertime. People are going to be traveling around wanting to find places to get to. And the book is called It Happened Right Here. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Marie. Thank you.
Can you hold that up again? Yes, let everybody
Certainly,
see.
Right there.
Yeah, so it's about America's pop culture landmarks, which is really interesting. So I know you're a historian. So is that what led you to write about the landmarks?
Yeah, I like places where stuff happened. The cover of the book is the house from Napoleon Dynamite. That was Napoleon Dynamite's house. I like things like film locations and crime scenes and historical events and just things that you might pass by each day, but not be aware of what it is, because oftentimes there's no marker or plaque. So I like to sort of fill in those blanks for people that are road tripping and let them know that there are hundreds, thousands of interesting places to visit that may not be on the map that you're following. That's why I write these books.
That's great. So that's why you've written that then. So tell us about, because I mentioned it's summertime, people are going to want to travel. And I guess, do you have a favorite spot? It might be difficult to pick a favorite.
I have a lot. Yeah, it varies. I mean, it depends on my mood and where I'm headed and, and all those sorts of things. I'm a big baseball fan, so there are many baseball sites in my book. I love film locations. I've always loved that. Uh-huh. And there's several key film locations I'm a fan of. But it really varies. I mean, it depends what part of the country I'm in. I'm always very taken by places that affected history or culture on some level, maybe where something was invented, maybe where something where there was some accident or something. It's something that we're all kind of consciously aware of as Americans, but I always kind of wonder if that place really exists.
And I think that as Americans, like, people really kind of take for granted all the special places that we have here. You know, they talk about these historical places in Europe, but they don't really find out a lot about the place, special places and locations we have here. And there are so many places probably right for many of us right outside, you know, not far from our back door to visit. So how did you decide on which places to include? Did you make a list? Were there any that didn't make the cut? Or
yeah, that's a good question. I usually start with a list. I've written a number of these books. This is sort of the latest and I think probably the last one. It's the most exhaustive, certainly. There are about 700 places in here. I make lists. I talk to people. I think about what affected us, kind of baby boomers over the year, what were the television shows, what were the movies, what were the things that album covers or whatever that we related to. And I kind of start from there. But then, like anything, once you get into it, something else will reveal itself or somebody else will give you an idea. So it really varies. But yeah, it starts with kind of a master list. And I think pretty much everything made it in. You know, the publisher's always been very, very good about letting me kind of run it the way I want to run it and
Right.
get as crazy as I want with it.
Oh, wow, that's great. So, let's do maybe if we can do like, I guess, the East Coast, the West Coast kind of picking maybe a couple spots. So, if you're on the East Coast, tell us a couple of spots, maybe family, for families.
Well, I mean, the first pizzeria in North America I'm reading is on Spring Street in New York City. It's called Lombardi's, and I'm from New York originally, so I get what good pizza is, and Lombardi's is certainly that. That is an amazing place that again has a lot of history attached to it, but also, I like food locations. Another one in Whitman, Massachusetts, is the birthplace of Toll House Cookies.
Oh
Of
my.
course, Buffalo, you've got what we know today is chicken wings,
Right.
You can go to that restaurant today and enjoy those. So there's a lot that I have a lot of food sections, along the East Coast, which I think are very.
Yes. That's really always interesting. Because food is so connected to history.
Yeah,
So,
and part of any good road trip too, because you've got to eat while you're on the road,
exactly. And it's not always easy to find good food. I mean, in New York City, my goodness, there's tons of it, but it'd be interesting to eat at a place like Lombardi's because the history and the history with pizza. So let's go to the West Coast now. Tell us about any food places there.
Yeah, well, plenty. I mean, in the West Coast, you've got, I mean, in addition to food, there's a lot of celebrity culture, obviously.
Right, yes.
I've got in the book a whole detail of like James Dean's last day, if you wanted to follow in his footsteps. A
Right.
lot of sites related to Marilyn Monroe and a lot of actual film locations, which is kind of fun. But then you get
Yeah.
up to San Francisco in terms of food, and you can go where. The Mai Tai was invented, or Irish coffee, or the egg roll, things like that that are kind of fun and historic and still interesting for
So they were
families.
all invented in San Francisco,
Yeah,
those
San
things that you
Francisco's
said.
got a lot. Yeah, they have a lot of, for whatever reason, there's a lot of food history in San Francisco, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, probably because lots of immigrants came there a long time ago and they
Part of it.
started all that culture with the
And right
food.
nearby, you're just outside of San Fran in the Bay Area, there's a town called Martinez. That's where Joe DiMaggio was born, but also where the martini was born. So you can kind of tie in sometimes each town has more than one thing they're known for.
Exactly. Wow, that's really, really interesting. And so I know you said you're a baseball fan, and I know some of my listeners are. So tell us some interesting baseball places.
Well, there's a lot. There's a place in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's my favorite one of the whole book, where in 1918, a very young Babe Ruth hit a very famous home run that left the ballpark during spring training, and it landed in an alligator farm across the street. Now, the alligator farm is still there, and
It is.
the pond where the ball landed is still there. And there's a sign in it that says, this marks the spot where the home run that changed baseball landed in 1918, because it was Ruth's most prodigious home run at that point. It really opened the team up to like, this guy is different. This guy hits balls different. So that's a favorite. And the alligator farm is a super fun place. It's been there more than 100 years, so that's kind of a fun tourist destination. But the fact that it's got Babe Ruth history attached to that, I think, is kind of fun as well.
That is definitely. Wow, that's interesting. So any other like any tips on how to find like a place that you to your best kind of place to go to
I mean, like I
or
said, when you
looking for?
carry a book like this, my goal is to make it easier for you. But I
Right.
always tell people, build in a little couple, a little extra time. Don't stick to like,
That's a good
if you can
idea.
help it, a super rigid time schedule. Leave
Right.
some opportunity for chance to present itself, where you can take an extra day to go in search of a couple of things. I think sometimes people get a little bit too wound up on schedule, and I get that sometimes that's important. But oftentimes there's an extra half a day or something where right around you, within 10, 20 miles, you can find some really interesting things that you never would have found were it not for books like this and other ones as well.
Exactly. And I love it because if you're taking your family, it's basically a learning experience too. It's better
Which
than, riding the roller coaster and,
you
those
can
types
still
of
do. I
things. You
mean,
can
look,
still do, yes.
I don't discount that, but there are historic roller coasters, but there
Right.
are also places if you've got kids. My kids grew up learning about history in the geographic locations. They would learn about Ben Franklin in school, and we would go to where he flew the kite in Philadelphia,
Exactly.
you know,
Yes.
or go follow the Oregon Trail. I think it's fun to actually connect with your kids with historic sites, just so that it really brings it to life for them.
That's what I was trying to get to. It's not just all about, you're doing a summer vacay and the kids are learning something too and experiencing
Totally.
history.
Absolutely.
Great. Chris, thanks so much. So tell us, where can people find this book? It's a great book to
Oh,
take
thank you.
on with
Anywhere
you.
where books are found, Amazon.com is certainly easy.
Okay.
Barnes and Noble, all the usual places. My books are available all over, and you can look up chrisepting.com is my website, and there's a lot of stuff on there as well.
Just going to ask about that. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. And have a great summer, I'm sure.
You
Oh,
as
any
well.
more books in the works? Are you working on?
Yeah, I have a book coming out this summer, late summer, about writing, actually. I've written a lot of stories with other people, so it's not really as much. There's some travel stuff in it, but that's my kind of next one coming up. And I have a couple of new local history books about Southern California that came out recently. So I'm always in the middle of trying
Always.
to uncover things, whether it's history or writing, or I like untold stories.
That's great. Really, really interesting. Great. All right, Chris, take care. Thank you so much.
You as well,
Thanks.
Marie. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Maria Liberati Show. And thanks to this week's special guest, my producer, Britton Rozelle, and you, my listening audience, for joining us. And also a special happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. And I'll leave you with this last thought. Someone once said, a mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. And as always, you can find me at marialiberati.com, on Instagram at Maria Liberati, on Facebook at Chef Maria Liberati, on Vimeo at Maria Liberati, on Twitter at Maria Liberati, and my YouTube channel, which is called The Maria Liberati Show, and you can get my Gourmand World award-winning book series, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, at marialiberati.com and artoflivingprimamedia.com, and anywhere books are sold. And if you happen to be in the Newtown, Pennsylvania area on June 8th, I will be doing a special cooking class and dinner called Dinner with Da Vinci at the Bucks County Community College. Just give the college a call and you can register for the class. And until next time, peace, love, and pasta.